The Last Adam, A Theology of the Obedient Life of Jesus in the Gospels, by Brandon D. Crow, Baker Academic, 2017, 288 pages. A Brief Book Summary from Books at a Glance, by Benjamin J. Montoya, about the author. Brandon D. Crow, Ph.D., University of Edinburgh, is Professor of New Testament and New Testament Department Coordinator at Westminster Theological Seminary in Glenside, Pennsylvania. He is the author of numerous books and serves as the book review editor for Westminster Theological Journal. Introduction. We often speak of the death of Christ as vicarious for his people, but what are we to make of Christ's obedient life? What role does it serve? How shall we understand the obedient life of Christ from the Gospels? The Gospel writers certainly spend a lot of time developing the theme of the obedient life of Christ, so it bears our careful consideration. Have a look at this book to learn more. Table of Contents. Chapter 1. A Tale of Two Adams in the History of Interpretation. Chapter 2. The Last Adam and the Son of Man in the Gospels. Chapter 3. The Last Adam is the Obedient Son of God. Chapter 4. The Last Adam is the Fulfillment of Scripture. Chapter 5. The Glory of the Last Adam in the Gospel of John. Chapter 6. The Last Adam and the Kingdom of Righteousness. Chapter 7. The Death and Resurrection of the Last Adam. Chapter 8. The Last Adam and Salvation, Theological Synthesis and Conclusions. Summary. Chapter 1. A Tale of Two Adams in the History of Interpretation. The obedient life of Christ is certainly a matter of focus in the Gospels, but how shall we understand it? There is not just one answer to that question within the history of interpretation. The approach taken in this book will seek to argue that the obedient life of Christ is vicarious and has a saving nature to it. What will distinguish this book on this topic from others is that the author seeks to focus on exegesis of this text, as well as taking a look at the entire canon of Scripture from a biblical theological approach. Although extra-biblical texts will not be ignored, they will not be the focus of this study. This book will also consider systematic and historical theology, gleaning some from both approaches. Chapter 2. The Last Adam and the Son of Man in the Gospels. The goal of this book is to show that the life of Christ is vicarious for those whom he saves. One of the ways that Christ does that is by being the last Adam, or the second Adam. Part of what is connected to that idea is the language of Son of Man. One of the terms that is consistently used to describe Christ as serving in a vicarious way is the language used of the Son of Man. How is this term used in the Gospels, and what is its background? The term is used consistently in the Synoptic Gospels, as well as referred to in John's Gospel, though the latter will be given more treatment in Chapter 5 of this book. In the Synoptic Gospels, the Gospel writers refer to Jesus as being the fulfillment of the reference of the Son of Man from the Old Testament. This language speaks of a figure referred to in many places, but especially in Daniel 7:13-14. The Gospel writers identify Jesus as this coming Son of Man, both as he is there in their writings and the prophecies that describe the future coming of the Son of Man. The significance of this language for this book especially is that because Jesus is the perfect Son of Man, he is able to serve on behalf of others vicariously. Thus, in serving the last Adam, Christ is also the perfect prophesied Son of Man. Chapter 3. The Last Adam is the Obedient Son of God. Jesus as the last Adam is also referred to as the obedient Son of God. This language has at least three important issues. First, it underscores his role as the last Adam. Jesus came to be perfect in every way that Adam was not, right down to the same temptations. Second, Jesus is the embodiment of the true Israel. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, he faced the same kind of temptations that Israel faced. Jesus, however, remained sinless. Israel routinely disobeyed God, was cursed, but Jesus obeyed and was blessed. A large portion of the Old Testament highlights the ongoing disobedience of Israel, how they were exiled because of it, and how they were cursed for it. The fact that Jesus is obedient brings a stark contrast in the New Testament from the Old, given the depth of the disobedience of Israel. Third, Jesus is also the royal representative of his people. This is part of how the Son of God language is used to refer to his obedience. Son of God language is innately royal language, referring to the filial relationship of Jesus with the Father. Part of the larger significance of Jesus being the last Adam, who is the obedient Son of God, is that his obedience serves in a vicarious way for his people. Whereas both Adam and Israel failed to be perfect sons of God, Jesus remains perfect. Chapter 4. The Last Adam and the Fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus being referred to as the last Adam is also connected to how Jesus fulfills Scripture, because it highlights his obedience through his righteousness and how he remained perfect, whereas everyone else failed. Matthew's Gospel is filled with language related to Jesus fulfilling Scripture. How Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness regarding his baptism, how he teaches that perfect righteousness is expected, and more. Luke uses similar language to describe the divine necessity of what Jesus did with his use of Dei, showing that what Jesus came to do is necessary in the sense to fulfill Scripture. In short, the Gospel writers are trying to show regularly and repeatedly that Jesus is the last obedient Adam who fulfills Scripture. There is no doubt that the death of Christ was and is vicarious, but the life of Christ is too. Chapter 5. The Glory of the Last Adam in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel speaks of Jesus as the last Adam, but the way John focuses on this theme is by speaking of the glory of the last Adam. Specifically, Jesus' life is referred to regularly by use of the term glory. For example, Jesus manifested the glory of the Father to the world in a way that no one else had ever done, even having Jesus explain as much to his disciples. John's Gospel also picks up on language of divine necessity regarding what Jesus is supposed to do as the perfect, glorious last Adam. For the sake of example, how Jesus had to go through Samaria, being referred to in the original language as "it was necessary." John also touches on the vicarious life and death of Christ through his reference to union with Christ. The larger significance of this discussion of Jesus that John brings to the table is that it shows and predicts the glorious coming of Jesus as the last Adam with his coming kingdom. The next chapter will further explore this concept. Chapter 6. The Last Adam and the Kingdom of Righteousness. The next area where Jesus is especially portrayed as the last Adam is in the use of Kingdom of Righteousness language. Throughout the Gospels, the Kingdom of Righteousness language is used to describe the righteousness of Jesus. Although we typically think of this righteousness in connection with his death, we should also tie his life to it as well. When the Gospel writers portrayed Jesus as being righteous when he was tempted by the devil, this provided a contrast for Jesus with the first Adam who failed when facing the same kind of temptations. Another significant area is when the Gospel writers portrayed Jesus as being the strong man who plunders the strong man. This language is used throughout the Gospels, and it has at least three primary points of significance related to the righteousness of Jesus as the last Adam. 1. The binding of the strong man is closely associated with the authority of Jesus to forgive sins. 2. The binding of the strong man is necessary for the establishment of the kingdom of God. 3. This language is also closely related to the supremacy of God's kingdom. In short, a big part of the inauguration of the Kingdom of Righteousness is Jesus' conquering of the devil, that is, the strong man, and he does that repeatedly throughout the Gospels, even through his life, not just his death. Chapter 7. The Death and Resurrection of the Last Adam. One of the main points of this book is that Jesus' obedience as the last Adam ought to be seen as a unity with his death. People typically think of his death as an act of obedience, but his life is just as much so. The life of Christ and the death of Christ work in tandem with one another. For example, consider the language of love and mercy. Those two terms work perfectly when connected to Christ. Jesus' teaching throughout the Gospels reveals that these points should remain together. Furthermore, the teaching regarding the ransom of Christ's death and resurrection also depends on his obedient life. It is the whole of what Christ did, not just the death and resurrection. His obedient life as the last Adam holds that analogy/theory of the atonement together. There is even reference to this point in extra-biblical literature, like the Epistle to Dionysius. Chapter 8. The Last Adam and Salvation, Theological Synthesis and Conclusions. As has been repeated throughout this book, Jesus' obedience as the last Adam is integral to our salvation and understanding of his larger person and work. The primary goal of this book has been to support that point from several different vantage points that have made up this entire book. Now, to focus on this point does not mean the exclusion of any other foci concerning the person and work of Christ. It would be a grave error to think that this book is arguing that we should only focus on the larger point made in this book without any regard to any other points, such as Jesus as a first century Jew. Furthermore, this point does not seek to negate any other Christological doctrines by focusing on this point. This book merely seeks to highlight a point that may not have been considered as unified with other points of biblical and theological points. Crowe ends this book with a fitting end to this summary. I conclude with the confidence expressed by New Testament scholar J. Gresham Machen. As he lay dying in a North Dakota hospital, Machen's last recorded words came via telegram, "I am so thankful for the active obedience of Christ. No hope without it." Machen's hope is gloriously narrated for us in the fourfold gospel, where we read of salvation accomplished by the fully obedient last Adam. As Jesus delighted to do his Father's will, may we delight to trust in and follow a gracious Savior. Copyright 2021, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.